Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Flex by Dan.
I thought I had a bad 5 weeks in my life.
Keyshawn, y'all.
Dan done had a bad 5 weeks, man.
No. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hunt in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
I thought I had a bad 5 weeks, the last 5 weeks of my life.
He said, J. Will, have you watched ESPN the last 3 months? I said, Dan, you're ESPN? Okay.
Now your response is,
I'm glad. Dad is great, though. We love Dan, and we love punching each other.
Hey, Bart Scott joining us right now on the show.
What up, Bart?
On Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. There he is. He's on the coverage of ESPN Radio for the draft. And B says, "Good to see you, man. I miss you. I'm working with these guys.
It's all different. Man. Oh, keep you company.
Did you get your hair cut?
Are you dressed up, Bart?
Look at him.
Man. I got a new get up, man. You know how you do. You come up here, you go through the car wash, man. That's why I had to bring my scooter, man. This camp is big as hell. About to pull no hamstring.
Walking around, breathing hard for no reason. Where are you going? Just the sports center?
Exactly. Uphill. Both ways.
So before we get to Dan Orlovsky's take, because I know you've got something to say about that.
What did he say this time?
No. That's all we have to do. Well, he asked Jay if he even watches ESPN because Mac Jones was definitely going number three in the draft. And I know you and Dan have had some great battles over the years.
Yeah, right.
Were you surprised at that move? Going Trey Lance there at three?
Not at all, especially when the narrative started coming out that he was the smartest quarterback that they had evaluated in a long time. You know, so if he was the smartest guy and he can process and you understand that he had more physical tools, you know, he had the bigger arm, he's more durable, and he was that dual quarterback that all quarterback coaches should covet. And he affects the defense so much more than a non-mobile quarterback. Why would you want Kirk Cousins? Why would you want Matt Ryan? That's not the evolution of the position. So, you know, you look at what they're able to get. They got a guy that can sit behind Jimmy G, a guy with a strong, powerful arm, a guy with a tremendous football acumen. He has just as many starts as Mac Jones at 17, and he has a stronger arm, and he's more athletic. He's pretty much like Josh Allen. Why wouldn't you want him?
Well, I think it was the right choice to select him at three. As I said before, you don't give away what John Lynch and Shanahan gave away to go get – anybody but that type of talent. So with that being said, what do you see in a young quarterback learning from a veteran guy, knowing that Joe Flacco was there for Lamar Jackson and Lamar Jackson eventually took over and the rest has been history? Could that potentially happen this year in San Francisco?
Well, whatever Jimmy G is doing, you don't do because he can't stay on the field. So I'm not trying to learn nothing from him. I mean, overthrowing people. I mean, he's missing a layup. But what it is it's a guy that gives you a rabbit, right? You would hope that he learned something from Tom Brady over the years as far as how to prepare, how to break down little nuances of defenses. You know, Jimmy G's been in this division, so he understands the defensive concepts of the opponents that they're going to face. So I'm trying to pick his brain and learn everything. It'd be interesting to see how transparent Jimmy G is as far as being able to bring a young guy along, because I believe that if Trey, if he can figure out the offense and get comfortable, I think eventually he'll win over the team and eventually maybe take over for Jimmy G later in the season.
Bar, Adam Schefter yesterday reporting that Aaron Rodgers is disgruntled with this situation. What's your take on that? Will we see Aaron Rodgers start the season in a Green Bay Packers uniform?
I don't know. I mean, listen, they're having a staring contest. He said he's not going to trade Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers has options. He can go do Jeopardy for a year and become Carson Palmer and say, okay, well, I'm just going to step away from the game. You guys wanted Jordan Love? Here you go. You guys didn't commit to me afterwards? Here you go. You didn't give me a long-term contract? Listen, they're in a situation where they have to make a decision. Are they going to buy into Aaron Rodgers long-term and give him the keys to the house and say, hey, you know, this is your team. Do as you want. You can leave when you want to. Or are they going to try and find a way to get rid of him? And if they're going to get rid of him next, you know, this year, the time to get rid of him was in the first 9 picks when you can get the proper compensation for him going forward this year. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that, you know, when he's dug in, I believe he's dug in. He doesn't need the money. You know, when you start hearing things like, hey, my fiance this, my fiance that, happy wife, happy life, and we're talking about a guy who cut off his entire family, reportedly. You think he cares about the Green Bay Packers and their organization? Not at all. Listen, this is the bed that they made, right? Because they didn't go to him as a Hall of Fame quarterback, as a franchise quarterback, and say, hey, we're going to draft this young kid. This is the plan going forward. You know, we still believe in you, but we just feel like we should get somebody in place just in case.
Bart Scott joining us, KJZ, ESPN Radio. So, Bart, the Jets clearly were hoping that Zach Wilson now becomes their guy, yeah. And we've been waiting for that guy for many, many years. And, by the way, they're hoping he can get into the zone. Get into the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Zach Wilson's not the surprise. They do add, though, Elijah Vera Tucker later on as well to solidify the offensive line, which, once again, as we said, is what they needed to do for Sam Darnold. Never happened. Do you like what the Jets did in the first round with these two picks, like what Joe Douglas did so far?
I do. We knew that, you know, Vera Tucker was the only player that they would move up for. You know, when you hear the comparisons to a guy like Quentin Nelson, you know, he's a guy that started off playing guard, moved out to tackle. He has a lot of versatility. He's nasty. He has a mean streak. He's good in pass protection. And you pair him opposite of Becton and hope that you can get a little bit more. But the Jets aren't done. Now, listen, they gave up a lot. You know, they gave up two number threes. And I think this draft is where, you know, two and three is where the draft really starts. Because there's a lot of good players that fail. But they still have that number two pick. And I think with that number two pick, you know, surprising that he's still on the board because Baltimore decided to go with Why did they pick him? They should have went with Ozeez Ojulari. I believe it's the best pass rusher left in the draft. You know, I think he was one of the better twitchy guys, and I think he makes perfect sense for them. That gives them that coveted pass rusher opposite Carl Lawson.
Shouldn't the Jets in their second day look to add a young wide receiver, maybe a running back, to the offensive side to pair with a growing group of young talent on that side of the ball?
No. Remember, right, when you think about them, they're trying to run that San Francisco 49ers type of run game. You know, the old Denver Kyle Shanahan running game. Who was there? Who are they? I mean, Mustard ran for 75 yards the first play, and the Jets cut him. Right, so you don't need a great running back there. You know, they brought in Tevin Coleman. They have a young, you know, room. Last year, they got some guys that can play. You know, you don't have to have your stars there. And it's a lot of depth at the running back position. It's a lot of depth at the safety position as well. You know, I think, you know, a safety not being picked in the first round was surprising to me. You know, I believe that's a position of need. I think that's an impact position. But it's going to be a run on, I believe, the right tackles that's left. I believe it's going to be a run on safeties in the second round.
Bart, I'm really proud of you. You haven't line stepped yet.
Hey, man, I haven't slept yet. I haven't slept yet. That's why, bro.
That's what happens when you work, man.
What happened was
Dave Gettleman traded down.
What the hell was he doing, man?
What do you mean, what was he doing? You don't like it?
No. Like, okay, so who's this kid replacing? Is he replacing Sterling Shepard? Is he replacing Darius Slay? Not Darius.
Darius Slay. I'm talking
about. Slayton or Darius Slayton.
I got you.
You
know,
you look on the outside, you got Golden, you got Shepard, you got Ingram. How many weapons does Danny Dimes need, right? So it seems like he's trying to double down and make sure that he can, you know, prove that the pick for Daniel Jones was correct. But he's leaving. He's exposing his team. I think Michael Parsons there, being there, they had Kwity Paye right there. That he could have, you know, they could have addressed a pass rusher outside of Leonard Williams. Who do they have as a pass rusher?
Oh, I hear you in the Kwity Paye. I was just more so talking about the haul that they got from the Bears.
Yeah.
For trading that pick. I mean that substantiates it as a pretty good draft when you look at the haul.
Yeah, they got the haul, but then they went with Kadarius Toney. Like, I mean, like, that was a position of strength, one of the few positions of strength that they had. I just thought that, you know, they could address some other issues. Maybe you could have got one of the best right tackles in the game going on right there, man. You look at what Dershow was still there. They could have got we don't know what Nate Solder is going to be. So if you can't protect Danny Dimes, all those weapons mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney, though, gives you a lot of different options.
Special teams.
Unlike Shepard, you mentioned all the receivers that they have. Shepard's okay.
Yeah, but they paid him.
Well, they paid him several years ago. It's not like they paid him yesterday.
I mean,
that contract, they can get out of that at some point, I'm sure, when they're looking at it. They could do something with him. Plus, They like to go 3 and 4 wides anyway.
But
so,
Key, you can address those in the other rounds. You look at – you got Elijah Moore still there from Ole Miss, and you got my favorite player left in the game, Rondale Moore, who ran a 4.2-something, jumped a 40-inch vert, and he's like Percy Harvin.
See, I think this kid is like Percy Harvin.
Ah, man.
I think Tony got a lot of Percy Harvin. This kid,
yo, Rondale Moore ran a 4.29, 42-inch vertical. The dude is ridiculous. He had 1,200 yards receiving in 2019. You know, that's a steal. You got to dig deep when you go. When you do that, you got to be able to get a home run player, man. I think he can help, but I think they could address that position. You got to get protection for Danny Dimes or get a pass rusher. That's a position of need for me.
All right,
just
Bart,
my opinion.
Bart, hold tight. We're going to get some calls in here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As Bart Scott joins us right here on KJZ. And you can hear Bart not only on our show, Bart and Han weekdays from noon to 2 on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Also was on the coverage last night on ESPN Radio of the NFL Draft. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Nature Valley. Feel the joy of a sunny day. Find the freedom of an open field and the taste. And taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley. Oats and honey, crunchy granola bars, or better outside. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go with Dale in Kentucky. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Doing good, Dale.
Yeah, I was watching the draft last night, and this whole Aaron Rodgers thing came up, and it took me back to a time. I remember, you know, when the Brett Favre was still there, and they drafted Rodgers. And it just to me, it kind of looks like the same situation is getting ready to play out. I mean, with the ownership or whoever's running Green Bay, it just seems like maybe Rodgers is thinking in his heart, like, look, I'm seeing what happened to me and what it did with Favre. And now when they got Love, it's like these same scenarios keep playing out. And I just think he kind of holds that dear to his heart and remembers that. And he's deciding right now to, you know, kind of put the feet to the fire and show them, hey, I remember that. Favre remembers that, you know, and I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's weird and very different because the team is not owned by a traditional owner.
That's a great point that you made earlier. That's a great point.
So
an owner would step in at this point.
Yeah, like who's in charge?
Yeah.
They going on separate planes to go visit, you know, instead of one plane with all of us going wherever Aaron's at, vacationing or whatever, having a conversation with him and trying to convince him, please, we screwed up. We love you. You're the best ever in the history of the game. We're going to name the stadium after you tomorrow.
Right.
Let's just get it done. They went on separate planes. They couldn't even do that right. They couldn't even figure out how to do that. And he hasn't attended, according to reports, any of the off-season Zoom stuff. Like, he's like, ah.
He's gone dark.
He's out.
Yeah,
he's
gone dark. As a quarterback, though, the quarterback of a team never does that.
Mm.
They're supposed to be the leader. First one in the building, last one out, family
the smartest
guy,
on
smartest
team.
On the team. He's very educated at the line of scrimmage, all of those things. Well, that's what people say.
Code words. No, I understand. Bart, where could you see Aaron Rodgers landing if they ever did move him? The Niners already said that they did inquire, but conversation went nowhere and they moved on.
The reports and little birdies are starting to say that Denver is a place where he wants to go and a place where he would fit perfectly. You know, John Elway can't draft a quarterback. You think about all the guys that he brought in, Osweiler, the kid from Ole Miss. Yeah, come on, you know he can't pick nobody. But you look at the weapons that he'll go. He'll have Sutton. He'll have Jerry Jeudy. You know, he'll have Noah Fant. You know, Melvin Gordon's there. They're ready to play on that side of the ball. You know, that'd be the perfect place. He also wanted to go to the Las Vegas Raiders as well. But I see Denver as the front runner. What would they have to give up? Maybe they have to give
everything.
Up Bradley Chubb and give up some future first-round draft picks. You know, but, you know, I think the Hayes left the barn. You know, they really offended him because, listen, they didn't. You know, when Aaron Rodgers got picked with Brett Favre, you know, he failed, right? And you just couldn't pass up the value. He failed, like, to the 20s. Like, well, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the – you know, he's the number one quarterback on the board. You know, Brett Favre had been flirting with retirement every single year. Right, so they had kind of had no choice. They moved up to go get Jordan Love. So that means that, hey, LaFleur wanted to say, hey, I want to get my guy. And so that means they aggressively moved up without even informing the franchise quarterback of what their plans were. And they still ain't got him a damn receiver. Just that he went out and got a damn corner. Like, what are you doing? You know what? I'll holler at y'all. Peace. Deuces.
Crazy that they moved up to get Jordan Love and then realized last year during training camp that he probably wasn't the right move. Like, where did you do your due diligence at prior to that? Because all the whispers and the germ spreaders coming out of Green Bay during training camp was like, dude don't belong. Mm. Like, he's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have tied yourself to him. You teed off Aaron Rodgers, who wants out, and you got to play Jordan Love at some point and hope that he can keep your job and keep everybody sane. Like, that's just too much to gamble with.
It definitely sets up a dangerous situation. More calls, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Anthony's in New York. Anthony.
Tony.
What's up, guys? First, I want to say it's a big, big pleasure talking to you guys, man. As a sports fan, to speak to this collection of athletes, it's a big deal. I'm a big 49ers fan. I'm just very confused as to what's the end game here. You take Trey Lance, you move up to number three, you give up a boatload for it.
Yes.
You take Trey Lance, which I'm okay with, but we have a pretty much ready set roster that's going to compete for a Super Bowl if Jimmy G stays healthy. Now, you're going to tell me we're going to start Jimmy G.
Yes.
So let's say, and this is a problem I know the 49ers would love to have, me too as a fan, say the 49ers win the Super Bowl this year with Jimmy G as the quarterback.
Yes.
Now what? You're going to tell the fan base, you're going to tell me we're going to get rid of our starting Super Bowl winning quarterback to bring in Trey Lance?
Tony, you give a pretty big caveat, though. What if our quarterback gets hurt again this year?
I was about to say.
That's a pretty big caveat for a guy who's been injured most of his career.
You did mention hurt in the whole conversation. On top of mentioning hurt, you run it until you can't run it anymore with Jimmy G. And in the process, you got Trey Lance waiting in the wings. At some point in time, Jimmy G may win a Super Bowl. He may not win a Super Bowl. If he wins a Super Bowl or two, that's okay. Joe Montana won a couple Super Bowls too. And there was a guy behind him named Steve Young that went on to become a Hall of Fame quarterback. So when the 49ers felt it was time to move on from Joe Montana, they said, thank you, Joe, for your services. We got somebody behind that's pretty good, and we think our future is bright. Mm-hmm. That's the same scenario you would have with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And I know I use Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. But you understand what I'm saying.
That's a 44-inch vertical leap right there.
Pretty high level right there.
I'm trying to give Tony some hope.
But also, Tony, you have to realize that you're going to have to reset the money because Debo Samuels, you think about all those, you know, Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. Those guys are going to have to get paid eventually. So you have to reset the clock, and you hope that you're resetting the clock with a better, younger version of Jimmy G that allows you to do something with your offense that you can't do with Jimmy G, which is control the backside defensive end and the backside linebacker because his ability to make off-schedule plays with his legs. So eventually you're going to have to reset the clock because now you're going to have to pay some of those young defenders and some of those great young receivers that you have. They're not going to stay young forever, so you have to reset the clock. And it's almost like Kansas City did with Alex Smith. Alex Smith was still playing at a high level. They still were going to the playoffs. But then you have a guy like Mahomes that can sit behind, and now he's a cheaper version and allows you to go out and luxury spend on other pieces.
Let's move on. Let's go to Wayne in Texas. Wayne.
Yeah, I'm kind of – I feel like some teams did great, some didn't. I'd say Trevor Lawrence, hey, Clemson – that guy's won for all the way through high school. He went through college. You don't go against a winner. Look at the quarterbacks. My old Terry Bradshaw grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana, where I actually grew up. Guys like that played football for years, got good weather down here in the South. Hey, you think you're going to go – you got here Mac Jones from Alabama, played under Saban, played behind two fantastic quarterbacks. You're not going to – you got guys like – you keep talking about this guy over Ohio State, played seven games, got his butt kicked right there in the final game against
– Justin Fields. Seven
games. He's done a lot of winning. What are you talking about?
He took just this big year because of the pandemic.
All right, man, they going to get you. You better get your facts right.
Fields and those guys – you know, Chicago, they need some good players because, they ain't won in years.
What the hell Trevor Lawrence going to do with Jacksonville? What Jacksonville going to do? They took a running back in the first round. You never do that. Like, this dude got so many miles on him. This dude got, you know how many carries ETN has? Like, Urban Meyer is an unknown. You know, and listen, like I said before, Trevor Lawrence don't have a chip. He's going to develop a chip because the criticism is coming because he's not going to win his first year. He's going to experience losing like he never has before.
What is that, Peyton Manning? Because they both wore 16. Peyton Manning pretty much said to him, hey, like, you're probably going to beat my record. I think Schefter reported yesterday.
Oh,
beat my
hilarious.
Record for, yeah, for
interceptions.
For interceptions
for
the
him.
First year. Yeah, 28. 28. You'll break that record. Good luck, Trevor Lawrence.
So you could break
that
record.
Start week one, exactly.
They took a running back, and the Robinson kid did his thing, and they brought in Carlos Hyde. How many carries they expect doing? They going to lead the league in rushing?
All right. Don't get Wayne in Texas too mad now, Bart.
Yeah, I was Wayne. Where did Wayne go? I was trying to figure out who Wayne's team was. He started talking about
Steelers. Sounded like Steelers because he mentioned his
Terry
team.
Bradshaw.
He said Terry Bradshaw.
Draft pick, and you're getting played. You're getting players from North Dakota and these kind of places. Utah, those guys ain't playing anybody.
Joe Flacco went to Delaware. Joe Flacco's from Delaware, and he won a Super Bowl. And he was Super Bowl MVP. What are you talking about? I'm from Southern Illinois.
Uh-oh.
Did you just put yourself in the same conversation? Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Terrell Owens, you know, Michael Strahan, a guy named Walter Payton. Like, what are you talking about?
Josh Allen played at Wyoming.
Right. What did you talk about? You know how many great
Wayne.
Players come from small schools?
Is Wayne,
defend
you still
yourself,
there,
Wayne.
Wayne, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, let me ask you something, because I'm not clear,
you
Wayne.
You think those guys from Delaware and those kind of little –
Michael Strahan came from Southern Texas.
Wayne, calm down.
You know where Reggie White – right?
Bart, let it breathe, Bart. Let it breathe, Bart. Let it breathe.
I know Reggie.
Wayne, I want to ask you – I'm not clear – what's your team, Wayne? What team do you root for?
I really like college. You know, I like LSU, probably number one.
So you
know,
like the
Louisiana,
so you like the SEC conference more than any other conference?
Well, I just know they got the best players.
So you
they
like
win.
So you like the SEC conference? So you're biased to the SEC?
I'm realistic. Realistic. They've proven time and time again that nobody comes close to them and never will.
Where's Aaron Donald?
They got good weather. Those kids, they grow up playing football their whole lives. You know, you don't have people from Southeast Conference going up there trying to win hockey championships and these kind of things.
Where's Aaron Donald from? Where's Darrell Revis from?
Well, here's what I would say. Here's what I would say, Wayne. I'm going to take a different approach to this. You know, the National Football League is made up of many conferences and players from all over the world for the most part. And some teams, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, Terry Bradshaw was from a small school in Louisiana. Did you know that?
Well, Wayne is gone now.
Okay, I wanted to.
But he was still making the Louisiana
small, yeah, still. Small school in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to a big school. He wasn't in the SEC conference. You know,
he was just saying like the South and
yeah, I get what he was saying. I'm not from the South. I'm from the Pac-12. I think I had a pretty damn good career as a pro. You know, Marcus Allen is from Ronnie Lott is from USC. Mm-hmm. I think they're in the Hall of Fame. Anthony Munoz is from the West Coast.
Well, the SEC has the best. You know, we have the best weather. I mean, these
well, actually, the weather sucks in the SEC.
They're playing all year long. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. We are the best.
I mean, I understand right now lately that the SEC has been.
Well, I didn't take it serious.
Cool.
I just when people come on shows and just get to talking, I'm trying to understand what are you smoking this early.
Where did Dan Orlovsky go?
What are you drinking? Some moonshine.
We've got to discuss this with Dan Orlovsky.
Dan ain't go nowhere. He coming?
We've got a lot to discuss with Dan Orlovsky for sure. It is the moment we've all been waiting for. It is a segment you do not want to miss. It is coming up next after Keyshawn has this.
Boom, and then pass to Jay Will because I have
woo,
this.
Take that. Slam. Boom, no look.
Goodyear knows that when the season starts heating up, so do the possibilities. Playoff hopefuls are beginning to emerge and contenders are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. Nice fadeaway. It takes momentum to build up to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
With the third pick, the San Francisco 49ers select.
Everyone thinks it's Mac Jones. I don't. I think it's Trey Lance. You gave up a lot to go get a Mac Jones.
Trey Lance, quarterback.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And if he doesn't, Keyshawn said, well, this is the moment for Dan Orlovsky as he joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotlines. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Welcome, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Oh, Dan.
What's up?
Oh, you're on radio.
Okay,
I mean, you're on the phone.
Dan, I'm not watching you on ESPN.
Have you watched ESPN over the last 3 months?
I don't think I have.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe Dan could explain you what was on ESPN the last 3 months. Dan, take it away.
Take it away, Dan.
Good morning, guys. It's really awesome to be with you. I really looked forward to this spot this morning as it got added to my calendar. You know, I got the email saying, Dan, this is your schedule tomorrow. I said, hold up. I wasn't supposed to be on KJZ at 8:30 in the morning, but here I am.
You know that special request was in for you, Dan.
Yes, and the interesting thing is you are on the show, but your face is not on the show. Hmm. Just your voice.
Damn.
I wanted to see your face when I asked you this question about Trey Lance going number three instead of Mac Jones at number three and going 15 to the Patriots. What did you make of Trey Lance going three?
Yeah, I wasn't shocked by it. I thought that they were going to take Mac Jones. I had been adamant about that. But I wasn't shocked about the Trey Lance thing because, you know, going into yesterday, I said, my past told me the pick would be Mac Jones. The future told me the pick was going to be Trey Lance. And I kind of teetered between those two things for yesterday. And then my mind kept going back to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, 3rd and 15, 3 jet chip wasps for Patrick Mahomes. Good play call that he drops back like 11 steps and throws a bomb downfield. And I go, man, great player made a good play call, a great play. And then 5 minutes later, Kyle Shanahan dials up the shot to Emmanuel Sanders. Perfect play call, perfect time, perfect design, perfect coverage. And Jimmy G misses it. And I was like, man, a player makes a great play call, a bad play, essentially. I think it's the greatest flyer at quarterback in the history of the NFL draft. While he's unbelievably talented, and you hear the incredible intangibles of him, he's the first quarterback in the last 15 years. Or let me rephrase that. There's one quarterback in the last 15 years of the NFL draft that got drafted in the first round who's had less than 500 attempts in college. That was Mark Sanchez. He had 487. Trey Lance is 318. Okay, that's the lowest amount of college attempts in the last 40 years of the draft. And I think of 16 or 17 starts for him. He's played in three. Okay, 3 one-possession games in college. In those one-possession games, he threw for 130 yards, 75 yards, and 62 yards. So his talent is certainly intriguing, but it is a massive flyer, and the pressure's on Kyle now.
Don't you believe in Kyle Shanahan, though? Isn't he the great
yep.
offensive innovator who can turn things around for talented quarterbacks and smart guys that are brilliant like Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think it's a phenomenal point, Key. But the variable that I add into this is I know Kyle, I played under Kyle, as a brilliant offensive mind. There ain't no doubt about that. Kyle has never developed a young, unproven player in the NFL. He just hasn't. You know, all the guys that he's been with have been somewhat known commodities, so to speak. You know, Matt Schaub was a little bit of a known commodity. He took him to the next level. And Jimmy G was a little bit of a known commodity. Matt Ryan, known. And so he got those older, veteran type of players to play at a consistently more high level. But he didn't have to get rid of some of the young flaws, the young warts in their games like he's going to have to do with Trey Lance. And I'd say this, Kyle needs to transition somewhat from incredible offensive innovator or mind to great quarterback developer. And those are different aspects. They're linked, there's no doubt, but there are different aspects.
Dan, how about RG3? RG3 was off to a great start, but he got hurt.
Well, yeah, and he got so we don't know like if there was going to be a consistent performance from RG3. He got off to a great start, and then the performance just started to decline. Now, was the decline linked to injuries? Likely, yeah. But we can't sit here and like assume that if not for, we don't know.
Well, he was pretty good to that injury.
I hear you.
He
became Dio, one of the things that you did knock it out of the park on yesterday is you said that the Bears need to act like Andy Dalton does not exist.
At all.
Yeah. At all. And it was – what's your overall evaluation? I mean, we were sitting up here talking about all day. I thought it was a great move by the Bears to trade up to get Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think it's the second best move of the draft, maybe third best move of the draft. I think it's a better move for the team than it is for the player, so to speak. You know, I don't love the fact that Justin Fields ended up there because, you know, Chicago's got some flaws, especially up front. But the fact that they got Justin Fields, I think Justin Fields got a chance to be really good. Now, again, my whole thing this whole offseason has been about figuring out what these young quarterbacks struggle with, and you better address it. And you know what's crazy, Jay? And I think that Matt Nagy's under more pressure than he was before the draft is – now, Justin Fields is significantly more talented. Everyone listen to me. Significantly more talented than Mitchell Trubisky. But what Matt Nagy failed to do with Mitchell Trubisky is, again, fix the flaw, but also understand athleticism and use that athleticism because that's what makes the player special. Mm. And Matt Nagy's got to sit there and look at himself in the mirror and go, I got to be better. I have to have learned from that experience with Mitchell Trubisky and how I held him back and go, I'm not going to do that to Justin Fields. I'm not going to ask him to be the type of player that he is not, so to speak. And so while I absolutely love the move for Chicago, no-brainer, the pressure is on Matt Nagy to do what he did not do for Mitchell.
Let me ask you this. You said that, and that's interesting that you said it the way you said it, Dan. But could it be such that Matt Nagy was not invested mentally in Mitch Trubisky because he didn't – well, he scouted him in Kansas City, and the report was, no, we want Patrick Mahomes because he's better. Could it be that he put his eyes on Justin Fields so he's more invested in trying to have him succeed at a higher level opposed to Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, I mean, sure, that would make me concerned because, dude, you're getting paid to be a professional and do your job. You know, so it's like, and you also took the job after Mitchell Trubisky was selected as the quarterback. You knew the player that you were going to kind of groom, so to speak. You didn't inherit, so to speak. And so, listen, I think that Matt Nagy, obviously he's a smart offensive mind, right? Like, he's a head coach in the NFL. He's got some pedigree of smart offensive mind. I do believe that once you sit there and have the urgency of knowing if you don't fix your job, you're getting fired. If you don't fix this situation, you're getting fired. It's a great kind of kick in the butt, so to speak. I think Justin should take the first snap of the season. I would play Justin Fields from the very first snap of the season and go, I'm linked to you, bud, and we're going to ride this thing together because I think he's a special talent.
It's amazing how the momentum has changed in Chicago. Hey, Dan, we appreciate you being a stand-up guy. You owned it. Came on the show. even though it's on the phone, but still, thanks.
Yeah,
for,
I wanted to see his face.
Yeah,
though.
They were really hoping.
I told them, I would go do it on camera, but Evan, you know, producer Evan was like, "Nah, man, just television or just phones." I was like, "Oh, okay. I guess I'm a peasant, so all good."
Oh, well, I like that shade throwing at Evan.
Still always welcome, Dan. Thanks so much.
All right, Dio.
Have a good day, guys.
Dan Olowski on the Goodyear Hotline. Kayshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Indeed.
Man, you know they can't never get my name.
You say Kayshawn?
You know they can't never get my name right,
No, you said Kayshawn. We need to get that sound. You said Kayshawn.
You guys are very froggy today.
It's like J and K.
We're very late.
Can't get it right sometimes. You just know that.
Did you know Indeed has 135 skill tests to help you screen for the experience that your company needs? Hmm. Not frisbee throwing or whistling with your fingers, but essential skills like
saying people's names,
computer proficiency, the ability to speak, and customer service. Find your next great hire, fellas, at Indeed.com/credit. Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay is now in, yeah, I'll say it, jeopardy. That's after Jay has this from Indeed.
No, Kayshawn
nope,
has
no,
it.
No, Kayshawn has this from
Indeed.
So you guys are just going to keep passing the reeds back and forth.
Kayshawn has it.
I see. Sabotage.
The reason to find your next hire with Indeed or starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description. They have 135 skill tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidates faster. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. So if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit.
Breaking news and Aaron Rodgers' situation overshadowing the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Packers' star quarterback has told the team he doesn't want to return to Green Bay. The Packers have made it known they have no plans to trade him.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Live.
KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance.
I don't know, man.
What?
I just, when I see stuff like that happening with Aaron Rodgers, that's mm-hmm. why I always point to them faces, and I'm like, and that guy is the one who's deciding someone's career.
Yeesh.
Like, seriously, though, if I was running the Green Bay Packers, we wouldn't even be having this damn conversation. His deal would have got done last year, and I would have figured out how to get him something to make him happy. Right. It's crazy to me.
Well, let's have this conversation with the man that shook the NFL right before hours before the draft with the news about Aaron Rodgers and his displeasure and the fact that he doesn't want to play for the Packers. And that's Adam Schefter, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Schefter, good morning. So can you update us just again with the very latest, if you would, on the Packers and the Aaron Rodgers situation?
Yeah, this has been going on for a little while here during the course of the offseason, and Aaron Rodgers is not happy with the Packers, not happy being in Green Bay, and the Packers know it. And you heard the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, step to the podium last night, and in his words said, this is a situation that's been going on for a while that may take some time. Those are his exact words, because he knows how Aaron Rodgers feels, and he knows how dug in Aaron Rodgers is, and he knows that there have been individual meetings with Mark Murphy and the Packers and Brian Gutekunst and the Packers and Matt LaFleur and the Packers all flying out to go meet with him to try to change his mind and to sway him. But Aaron feels the way he does. And, you know, let's remember the personal part of this, and everybody in their own lives can think of something like this. Like, he's also at a different point in his personal life. He just got engaged. He's starting a new life. His wife is an actress. You know, I don't know too many actresses over time who have set out to want to go make their career in Green Bay. And so, I mean, you know, so it there's a lot to this. And you know, a lot of it, I think, stems back to the draft last year where the Packers, you know, not only drafted a quarterback but traded up to draft a quarterback and traded up to draft a quarterback and didn't even tell him in advance that they were drafting a quarterback. How do you think that would have played with some of your quarterbacks, Key?
Not good.
A team, okay, well, and they're still feeling the effects of that. And they don't know what to do. And so you tell me, is Aaron Rodgers going to warm up and change his mind? I mean, this is a guy who I would venture to say still remembers each of the 23 teams that bypassed him in the draft. Okay? So I guarantee you there's a similar chip to his own team right now. And really it's unprecedented in a certain way because we've never seen a player win the MVP in the NFL and be traded the subsequent offseason. And last night I should point out that the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst, said we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. And they have held firm to their belief that they're not trading him. And that's fine. They are allowed to feel that. But I would also say that Aaron Rodgers has his own feelings here.
Yeah.
And he's told people he's not going back there. And if he follows through on that, they cannot trade him all they want, then they're sitting on an asset that has great value that they're not using. So, again, how that all plays out, we'll see. But it's an issue. They know it's an issue. They've acknowledged it's an issue. And it's not going away anytime soon.
Adam, if this was a draft of insiders, you would certainly be the number one pick and the go-to guy for me. And I'm going to you right now. Why didn't they address the quarterback issue last year with Aaron Rodgers when they know his temperament? Why would they do that?
Well, thank you for your kind words first, Key. And I would just say that last year, they ran their organization the way they want to. I think sometimes people forget we're dealing with people at heart. You know, it's not hard if you're going to take Jordan Love, you know, to say, you know, before we draft this guy, let's call the face of our friend and just give him a heads up in advance. Let's have him hear it from us first. You know how many times over the time where I've dealt with a team where they're trading a player, trading for a player, or I call the team where they're hiring a coach and they say, you know what, before you report that, can you just let us call the two other guys that we interviewed and let them know? Or can we call the player before, you know, we find out that we're trading for a running back? Can you mind if we call this other running, our starting running back, and let him know? Like, it's just a simple thing. It's a simple courtesy, right? Like, if ESPN is going to hire another talk show host to with you guys, don't you think it'd be a good idea to let you guys know before? Well, I'm just telling you.
Yes.
Before they just stick him in your studio.
Don't put that in his head. Shefty, we've only got about 20 seconds.
Yes, yeah, Seth Markman.
We've only got about 20 seconds, so if I could just get
Seth wouldn't call you, Casey. Yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
All right. All right, Adam, we thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks so much. Have a great day. Enjoy
our GM is next with his reaction to this and so much more. Stay with us, KJZ, ESPN Radio.